Why don't we lift up our voice right now to the Lord? Could we do that? I wish somebody would speak something right now by faith. What do you see? What do you see God doing for you in the next couple of days? You may be seated. I feel so very blessed to have been raised in this district. And I love coming back to Alaska Camp Meeting. And this is the greatest, in my mind, the greatest honor I've ever been given to preach back here at home where I was raised. And a lot of you prayed me here. And to you I say thank you. And this great district board, I've got great memories with all of them, and it's family with every minister in this district, and you just can't say enough about that, and give honor to my parents, my great father, and beautiful mother, and I got my girls over there as well, my beautiful wife, and two little ladies, my brother, their wives, I love you. Why don't you go ahead and stand with me and turn to the book of Genesis, and we are going to why don't we just go to the 42nd chapter. Who wants an ordinary camp meeting? And the fact of the matter is, you can have whatever it is you go after. Anything that you can believe God for. Anything. And so what would happen if we just realized that there are dimensions to God's power that have yet to be looked upon, experienced, felt? And what if we said, what I have, I thank God for. But that's just the beginning right there. And what God has for me is so vast and so awesome. How could I be satisfied with this, as great as it is, when I could have so much more available for me? And I believe that first night was very powerful, setting the stage for what I want to preach here today, because the fact of the matter is, everything has to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything. And building on that base, there's nothing impossible. Genesis 42, verse number 7. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them, and he said unto them, whence came ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. Now I want you to grasp something right here in verse number 9. It's one thing to be the brothers coming to Canaan at the bottom. I can see why they'd be desperate, and I could see how they could have faith or believe God or anything, because they're coming from the bottom. Hands out, no food. But when you're at the top, and you're still hungry? You've got everything Egypt has to offer, and you're still hungry for spiritual things? Oh, that sounds like an American church. Oh, it's easy with this great facility, great heritage, good jobs, pretty good health. Hey, we're good. Hey, let's get this preacher out of here because we've got some popcorn. But there's something to be said about people that are hungry. I don't even have a physical need, but I'm still hungry. I got money in the bank. My kids are okay. Got a suit on, but I'm still hungry. That's a revival church right there. From the top, if you can say, I want more. Well. Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, ye are spies that see the nakedness of the land ye are come. I want to preach for just a little while. Can you recognize fulfillment when you see it? Can you recognize fulfillment when you see it? You may be seated. I think immediately to talk about God's family. Bible would talk about generations. And it's interesting because Genesis 37 starts to talk about the generations of Jacob. It just finished talking about the generations of his twin brother. And Esau is not in the covenant. He went a different direction. And when you look in his genealogy, it kind of sets up the tension that you feel in chapter 37. Because chapter 36, talking about Esau, not in the covenant, you read about there's kingdoms, there's blessing, but there's no set future for sons. There's no guarantee that daddy is handing you the keys. And so there's a lot of effort that's involved. I've got to prove myself. And that sets up the tension for God's family. Because Jacob has four wives. And as you can imagine, with sons coming from four different ladies, there's extreme tension, competition, strife inwardly. They're all wanting the birthright, the crown, the blessing. And there's four potential birthright carriers. Four women, four firstborns. And so, who's going to get it is the question. And the Bible tells us that Jacob, he's looking at it a little bit different than his fathers looked at it. He was working 7 years for one woman, and the father-in-law gave him the wrong woman. And then he gets the right woman, and come to find out, the wrong woman has kids first, and then 14 years later, the right woman finally has a child. And ringing in Jacob's ears are, hey, this is just how we do it in our country. I'm sorry, Jacob, but we don't give the younger before the firstborn. And so Leah's firstborn, Reuben, surely he's going to get the birthright. But Jacob doesn't look at it that way. And I wonder how many of you are living bound by somebody else's, well, this is just how we do it around here. Jacob doesn't consider Reuben. The Bible tells us that He gives Joseph a robe of many colors. Joseph has already been handed rulership. That robe wasn't just any robe. That robe was a mark that set him apart. You no longer have to do manual labor, Joseph. You are special. You are set apart. You're the one. He calls Joseph the son of his old age, which means that when I'm old and passing on, he's the son that's going to take the baton from me. And so Jacob decides, Joseph, you're the one in spite of what tradition says. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that I've been handed in my mind that hinder me when it comes to the right blessing at the right time in the right place. This is how we do it around here. 150 people is a good sized church. Is there anybody that believes that 150 people is a good sized church? I was talking with the man and he was saying, well, we don't even plan a church unless we have over 150 people in the launch team. And I'm thinking, that's a great church. And I've got paradigms that are keeping me down. This is how we do it in this country. Jacob says, no, I refuse. I refuse to be bound by what you said. The deceiver, Laban. Yeah, the deceiver gets in your head and says, hey, no, no, not you. Wrong time, wrong place, wrong person. Is there anybody like Jacob that says, you know what? With the favor of God that's upon me, I think I can make up my own mind from here on out. Thank you, devil. But I refuse to listen to you one more time. You may be seated. I need to hurry really quick. The Bible tells us that he chooses Joseph. I like Joseph. I like Joseph because Joseph's not afraid to be blessed. We need more people like Joseph. It might not be fair that Joseph gets blessed and the other boys don't receive such a great blessing. Except for Joseph is a precursor. I feel a little change of direction. Joseph is a precursor to what the kingdom needs desperately to be loosed in this earth. And that is Christ. Yeah. You know, that's not a name that God gave Jesus. That's a name people gave Jesus.
Yeah.
Also called Christ. The anointed one. The miracle worker. The one that can raise the sick. The one that tells you don't gotta be blind when you leave my presence. The one that tells you it's never too late, Lazarus. The one that can walk on water. The one that can speak to water and command it to be wine. I'm talking about the anointed one, the miracle worker, the ruler. I feel like preaching some doctrine now. And he's a precursor, right? Because this is the building of the kingdom. We are no longer building a family. Jacob, you are now Israel. And Israel, you are becoming a kingdom. And we are talking kingdom now, boys. Not one. All of you are going to be leaders. But Joseph, the generations of Jacob, Joseph. This man that's got dreams. Dreams. Dreams that start low but go high. And he sees 11 stars, which God said, Abraham, I'd like you to look up and see and count. If you can count the stars, that's how many kids you're going to have. Every once in a while I talked about the sand, which would be natural, and the stars would be spiritual. And what Joseph's looking at is a picture of a spiritual kingdom. A spiritual kingdom.
And so this is a spiritual dreaming Joseph, covered with favor. Not afraid to wear that coat around town. You know, there's a commentator I just read, Spicer's his name. He said that coat was covered in jewels. And I remember that God told Abraham, hey, you're not just going to have blessed seed. You are going to have the land. And so now you've got a guy that's not just walking on the land. He's wearing it. In other words, hey, I'm not going to be on it. I shall be in it. That's where I'm going with Joseph. If you're here and you're not one of those 16 that received the Holy Ghost, get ready. He's in it. And you know, you got a fancy coat like that, wear it around the house, but Bible says that Jacob sends him to his brothers in the field, and he's wearing that coat. Because you know what? If you've got blessed with favor, and you've been covered with favor, it's not for one place. You know where we need that favor? We need that favor in the field. I love coming into church and putting on a Superman coat and then checking out when Sunday service is over. But God said, I'm looking for somebody that's bold enough to wear that coat in the field. I'm looking for somebody that won't take that coat off. That's me. That's me. And I don't want to apologize to anybody that don't have a coat. Just because you don't have a coat doesn't mean I'm not going to wear mine. And can I preach to somebody that's been hoarding your gift? If you don't wear that coat, you're living in disobedience to your father. Oh, I think we've got, you may be seated, I think we've got some great, great, great people in Pentecost. And you know what our problem isn't? Pride. Oh, that's not our problem. No, no. But we need more Josephs. A Joseph, you can't paint him as being prideful. You can try, but the text doesn't say that. We say that because we're like, that's just not right. Because that's us. And we're looking at somebody that's beyond blessed. And he didn't earn it. He's just been born into it. His name's a walking prophecy. I shall add another son. I don't come by myself, he's saying. You see me, another son's coming along. And so Joseph is one of those guys that he's loved by his father. And he receives that. And then he gets the coat put on his shoulders. And the problem with Pentecost, probably, or at least my problem, is maybe I really haven't recognized the love of the Father. Therefore, I discount myself when it comes time to walk in favor. I said all that to you that brought a shovel and a wheelbarrow here to church wanting to earn God's blessing. Oh, you cannot earn God's love. You are love. You can't earn grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Oh, yeah, I know. Don't get nervous. Oh, you're talking grace. I'm talking grace, my friend. What Pentecostals need is a revelation. You're loved. Deal with it. You are made worthy by what he did. You came into this building worthy. Moreover, you're approved, Ephesians 1. You've been adopted. God chose you. You don't got to earn anything. And the moment you get a revelation, God loves me, maybe you can start loving yourself. Oh, our problem isn't pride. Our problem is we've got an issue with self-worth. Oh, before God can even put blessing on us, we discount ourselves because I'm not that one, and I'm not that one, and I'm not that one. We discount ourselves, whereas Joseph just says, put it on me. He's not arrogant about it. He's friendly with his brothers. The Bible said, Paul talking to the church at Rome, he said, you've been given gifts, every one of you, according to the grace of God. Don't think more highly than you ought. We know that, right? That's not our problem. But more highly means you don't go too far. But you better think highly. Oh, yeah, don't discount the gift God has given you that operates by grace. I've come to preach to every one of you that came to an altar and repented of your sins, and you did not get crucified. But did you believe you were crucified with Jesus? Yeah. Every one of you that was baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, you weren't buried literally, but you believed it, right? And you were raised up to walk in newness of life when you received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But now you got to earn a ministry. Now it's on you. Now the burden's on me. If I'm not good enough, if I don't pray 5 hours a day, God can't use me. That's what you call going from grace to works. I'll make this happen. I can have revival. What would happen if we just walked in favor? Because I am a son of God. I'm a son of God. Joint heir with Jesus Christ. When? Now. Paul said, you've been given all things. All already. I love singing about heaven, but it's here now. It's here now. And Paul said in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 17, he said, you know, the just live by faith, and the righteousness of God is revealed unto them. From faith to faith, which means uncovered, which means God's righteousness is our righteousness, right standing with God. And Paul said, you know how you get that? You believe that. And the more you believe it, the more you're going to see it. It'll be revealed, which means uncovered. You believe it? All right, here's more. You believe it? All right, here's more. And that's how it is in the kingdom of God. You do not have to be crucified to be healed. Oh, you don't got to get beat on your back. Jesus did that. God's already fulfilled everything that's going to be done on this planet. What you've got to do is but leave that and think that God wants to use me. That's all. If you ever got that revelation, you turn your city upside down. God wants to use me. He wants to use you. You've just got to accept that. We need people that aren't afraid to walk in favor. We all need that. Because when Joseph dreams, he dreams about us. He dreams about us. Joseph doesn't dream just about himself. He said he remembered the dreams he dreamed of them. But when they heard his dreams, Joseph never said, hey, I am going to dominate you. He told them the picture. And because of their own competition spirit, I've got to earn my father's favor. They interpreted that dream without seeing themselves as stars. You mean to tell me God sees me up in the heavens? I don't know about you, that would make me feel pretty good. God sees me as a planet up in the heavens. But they're living so low with low self-esteem because I gotta earn my daddy's favor. I gotta wrestle for it. I gotta struggle for it. You've gotta believe it. And I'm definitely not, I feel. You mind if I take my time? I feel like if something breaks here in our minds. Oh. This isn't about some new strategy to have revival. This is about believing God could use me. And you get that favor put on you. And you start believing this coat is me. You know what? When the Bible says that when the brothers stripped that coat off of Joseph, it's a word used for skinning an animal. You take my favor, you're going to have to skin it off me because it is me. It's not something I put on. It's become a part of my fabric. It's become a part of my DNA. I believe God wants to bless me. Oh, I feel like bringing it on in the spirit realm against every bit of unbelief. You know the greatest revelation we have? One God. And you know what I wonder sometimes? I wonder sometimes that if maybe we saw three, our faith would be bigger. Because us to have the greatest revelation of God, believe He can do the smallest things. And there's all kinds of people believing three with giant faith. So maybe looking at three helps. Because it is your revelation of God that determines your faith. And us Pentecostals with the greatest revelation, why are we not walking in the greatest blessing? Why are we not believing God can do anything? We see Him, we know Him. How big is your God, my friend? If your God was big like the God we see. Yeah. And I'm a bad example to preach because, you know, I don't have the big church. But let me tell you something, my friend. I refuse to be satisfied for normal. I believe that God can use a shipwrecked preacher like me. I believe that God is going to use me. I'm going to show you all how to run 1,000 people. That's what I'm going for, my friend. You are a walking prophecy. If you're a son of God, you are a walking prophecy. Oh, yeah, if you are the church of the living God, you are a walking prophecy. And Joseph's got this supernatural going for him. And the Bible tells us he makes it to the top. And he remembers his dreams. He's been at the top for a while, but you know what? when he was down at like 39 and 40 and 41, on his way up, he was holding on to you know what my problem's been? I've got my prophecy on the wrong side of my wall. Paul said, Timothy, according to the prophecies that went on before you, by them, not believing in them, not thinking if I can get through this, I'm going to get my prophecy. He said, by them, war a good warfare. That means on this side of the wall, you take your prophecy and you speak at that wall. Who are you to stand in front of me? God called me to run 1,000 people. Get out of my way. Be healed in the name of Jesus. It's on this side that you use that to fight against your wall. Amen. So here, if we could believe it. As holy as you live and as right as you live, God should do unbelievable, but that's our worst enemy. Admit it. You got to work for it. When you don't, have to work for faith. God gave that to you. The same grace that washed your sins away. That grace gave you faith, Romans 12. So you got it, every one of you. And he said, if you're going to prophesy, prophesy according to the faith. Not what you see. According to the faith. Not what you believe that God could do by measuring according to the faith. So that's a God thing. And so instead of saying, God, this is what Greg Glover believes can happen, I'm going according to what God believes can happen. And if you do that, there is no boundaries. Here this ministry is, Joseph. Joseph is dreaming Egyptian dreams in Canaan. Potiphar's wife calls him a Hebrew. So does the butler. There's not too many that get called Hebrews in Genesis, but Joseph gets called a Hebrew twice in two chapters. Why? Because a Hebrew means regions beyond. And they're like, you get around this guy. He don't believe anything's impossible. He's having Egyptian dreams in Canaan, and he just believing anything is possible. That's Christ, the anointed ministry. What are you called as the church? Are you called the body of Jesus? You're called the body of Christ. You are a literal body of anointed. And Simon Peter said, oh, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, don't tell anybody. I got to go die. What are you talking about? Joseph, that's all we need. We just need Joseph. We just need ministry. No. Joseph's story has that weird turn in 37. He goes to Egypt. We're like, what's going to happen here? What? Judah? What are you talking about here? This is Joseph's story, right? No, this is the kingdom story. And so we're not talking about one stream that's going to make this happen. You've got another stream coming. Now Joseph's got the birthright. I feel the the Holy Ghost. But that sure ain't the bloodline. You got the birthright, power, but here comes Judah. How does this, what are you talking about? They go together. They work together. If this is going to work, Judah, he starts moving. He goes crazy. He marries a Canaanite. And the Bible tells us that things are going bad with his boys. They're dying off. And then his daughter-in-law tricks him into sleeping with her. And she gets pregnant with twins. And the scripture tells us that one of them sticks his hand out when she travails. And the midwife puts a scarlet thread on his hand, on his finger. And so she travails, and that looses the hand that gets scarlet on its finger. She doesn't travail again. The hand goes back in, and out comes the second born, Perez, which means breakthrough. And then right behind Perez comes his brother Zerah with the blood on his hand. And his name means dawning of a new day. And Judah's story ends. And in the genealogy of Jesus, Matthew 1, both of those boys are mentioned. Because Jesus was both of those boys. Our travail loosed his arm. I looked around for an intercessor. I couldn't find one, so my own arm became salvation. And that got a little bloody. And I pulled it back, and guess what that did? It opened up the door for second birth. Also called breakthrough. And then right behind him comes the dawning of a new day with blood right behind him. It's blood in front and it's blood behind. It's God saying, my blood's got your future covered. And my blood's got your past covered too. Joseph, you're going to be miraculous. Judah, you're going to be the Savior. And here they come. And their storyline's awesome. Because Joseph, every step of the way, every time something awesome happens, there's either a 3-day or a down in the pit and a resurrection. Every time. It's always resurrection picture, then power. Resurrection picture, then power. Judah, strangely enough, Judah, wait a minute. You know, these stories are intertwined because it was Judah's voice that got Joseph out of the pit in the first place and sent him to Egypt. Judah stepped in there and everybody listened. And now, in the middle of all this famine, and they don't recognize Joseph. He's not been revealed yet. And I got a lot of things I should say, but I'm not going to say. I'm just going to say this here. Jesus said, the Comforter's getting ready to come. And you don't know him yet, but when you do meet him, he's going to talk about me. He's coming. You've not seen him yet, but you're going to. And Joseph and Judah, their stories are coming together. And the scripture tells us that Israel's in famine and they're coming to Egypt. And there's problems because daddy doesn't want to release Benjamin to go with the boys. And that's the requirement. And Judah steps up. And Judah says, Dad, put it on me. I'll be the sacrifice substitute. Not only will I be the voice of mediation, put them on me. The mediator mediates. And they get to Egypt. And the scripture tells us that some more stuff goes on. Pictures of grace popping everywhere. And Benjamin ends up with this cup in his bag, which he shouldn't have had. And Joseph says, the guy with the cup's going to die. And Judah says, hold on a minute. Up to this point in time, Joseph's been hiding and speaking through an interpreter. We can't handle what he's got to say. We don't understand it, so something's got to be our tutor, you know. Something's got to be our schoolmaster to help us understand who this is and what he's saying. And Jesus and Judah goes, hey, step aside, interpreter. No need anymore for a schoolmaster. I am going head to head with Joseph. No interpretation needed. I'm the voice of mediation without anybody help. Oh, there's one God, one mediator between who and man? The man. Christ Jesus. Judah says, I refuse to let my father die, Jacob. He will die if Benjamin doesn't come back. And I'm just taking for granted, you know the story. No, take me. I refuse to allow somebody else to die. And Benjamin gets to go free. Take me. And at that moment, where there's nothing in between the mediator and Joseph, Joseph says, it's time for me to tell you who I am. It was Judah that revealed Joseph. It was Simon Peter saying, thou art the Christ, the anointed. Don't tell anybody I'm Christ. I do not want people jumping to the miraculous before they've met salvation. I don't want people missing the point. The point isn't the miraculous. The point's salvation. The point is I'm the mediator. The point is I'm in the bloodline. That's what Judah was in this picture. He's the bloodline. You follow his bloodline, you get to Jesus Christ. But it doesn't say that. It says Jesus called the Christ. So Judah's pointing to the salvation, called the Christ. I'm not pointing to the Christ. I'm pointing to the salvation. I'm pointing to the sacrifice that took every one of your sins upon himself. Everything you've done, are going to do tonight, will do next week, took it away. It's gone. And you know what you've got to do to get that? I reckon. You got to get Southern. I'm sorry, I apologize. Paul said, we reckon. Yeah, we didn't die. We weren't buried, beat up, bloody. We reckon ourselves to have died with him, been buried with him. You want to get salvation today? You know what's going to cost you? Can you believe? Can you reckon? Can you see yourself dying with him on Calvary? And you go join with him by repenting? And get buried with him by baptism. Here's the important part. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the literal removal of your sins. Oh, that's what Judah brought to us, the family name. the bloodline. He's got the family name. You remember when God said, hey, Abraham, you come out here, I'll make your name great. It wasn't Abram to Abraham that was great. It was Abram to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Israel, to Judah, to Perez. And you track that all the way down. 42 generations. Boom! Jesus! And now the Bible tells us that if you believe, Galatians 3, by faith, we are the children of Abraham, his seed, and Paul said that's singular now. It wasn't seeds, seed. What's the name? Jesus. When did Abram's name get made great? Whenever that angel came down and said, you're going to call his name Jesus. Jehovah hath become salvation. That's when Abram's name became great. What's our family name? Ephesians 3:15. That's our name, Jesus. The whole family in heaven and earth is named after Jesus. And Jesus isn't an end to himself by mediation, because it's not about Joseph just being revealed. It's about Joseph saying, hey, by the way, I went through hell. I'm not going to lie. I went through hell, but I got some stuff. I did go through hell and led captivity captive. And I got a little something for you here. I got a change of clothes. I got all the gifts you can imagine. I've got 10 donkeys full of the goods of Egypt. Judah, you brought us to Joseph. And Joseph is bringing us to fruitfulness and blessing and gifting and power. And so you've got Jesus and you've got Christ, the anointed and salvation. They both work together. You do not have to choose which one you're going to use. We're going to wow our city with, no, you got both. That's the answer, both. Gifts of the Spirit, all 9 of them in operation. Repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus said. He said, hey, you found me out upon this rock. I'm going to build my church. The miraculous and salvation. Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost. They're all in one package. And so I come to tell somebody in this building, you can't preach Acts 2:38 enough. Because you preach Jesus, you're getting ready to see Joseph. Judah will always reveal Holy Ghost. Judah will always make Joseph go, I can't stand it. Turn me loose. I'm Joseph. In other words, my friend, you're a revelation away. That's it. He was Joseph all the time. Power all the time. Gifts all the time. Right? He was loaded already. He came with gifts. All they had to do was see it. And it took them a couple of verses and they believed it. And they lived it. What did it take those boys? See it. Hey, what did it take the early church? A cussing preacher. 53 days after he cussed and failed to see it. This is that! He's going, I see it! That's Joseph! And what's he do? He preaches Jesus, which releases the Holy Ghost. 3,000 people on the first day. The first message ever preached in the apostolic church, minus a sound system. 3,000. What did they do? They believed and were baptized. I know there's a nifty program there for somebody. I know I should be doing things a whole lot different. But you know what I've decided to do? Preach Jesus and loose the Holy Ghost. You only need Judah and Joseph. There was never somebody as blessed as Joseph was in God's family. And Judah, what a mediator. And they come together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord. What is that, Dad? Can you say that? My dad says it so well, I love it. I can't say it.
Shema Israel. Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad.
That last word. Echad. I'm amazed. Because there's a value of dry bones, which is your city. It's Alaska. It's Washington. Valley of dry bones. Can these bones live? You know. He said, what you need to do, Ezekiel? Prophesy to these bones. And you know what he finds out later? That this is the house of Israel, and they say, we are very dry. We're broken apart. Dissembled, dead. We are. Yeah. That's what Sterling's saying. We have no hope. Our family's never going to get connected. There's no life. Oh, don't wait for Israel to talk for themselves. You can't do that. You can't wait for the dead people to get faith. And you don't even need to go into a sermon about your best life now, because guess what? Until you've got the Holy Ghost, you aren't even alive yet. You don't have a life to get better. And so don't wait for your city to start talking faith. Ezekiel, you speak. They aren't going to talk for themselves. You speak. You drive up and down this highway, you speak. When your friend tells you they're married, you say, I rebuke that. I've got a sickness in my body. Well, have you been to the doctor? You know what? With my own kids, it's like, honey, do we got any NyQuil? I mean, let's be honest. If it's adult, it don't matter. If you. Hey, do you have something we can dump down there? What about? What about your default action? Man, you got cancer? I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Don't beg God to do something he's done. Prophesy. Bones live. It's bold faith. Yeah, Ezekiel, you probably feel stupid, but God's backing you up, son. You know who's backing me up? It's the power of Jesus Christ. The anointed salvation. Come on, somebody in this building. There's power if you can believe. There's power. There's power. Prophesy. They're speaking. They're cutting. I don't know about your city, but they cut themselves in Spokane. They cut themselves because they can't feel. They feel when they cut themselves. They can't feel otherwise. That's a beautiful life. Yeah, that's a beautiful life. You call apostolics crazy. You know what I think is crazy? I think it's crazy that you slept around three people in the last week. That's what I think is crazy. Hey, if you're going to call apostolics crazy, the fact that you don't care enough about your kids to stay with your wife, I think that's crazy. Since when did we let people tell us who we are? Live! Live! You're going to let a dead person speak into your life? Oh, call me crazy. I command you to live. I do not receive the word you've got to give to me in the live. Yeah, they're not speaking for themselves in Sitka.
No.
You may be seeing, they're teaching home Bible studies in Sitka. What's that? Let me take you through the tabernacle. Are you serious? Chad, have you ever heard of praise dancers? Wait, no. The money series? You ever thought about having barbecues? Bible studies, tabernacle plan, all that? Yeah, when you give people Jesus, they tend to get Joseph and get delivered and set free. Do you know that people don't know what they need? I don't know. I know I'm getting way too long-winded. But you know what the problem is with me? I'm not a great pastor, I'll be honest. I don't answer my phone. I hide away in my office. I'm horrible. I'm not a good example. But you know, I've never had more people have such great advice on what needs to be taught in the church. I mean, literally. We have people that they live their life on a swing set. You know what I mean? And they're telling me, hey, you know what we need? You know what you need? Jesus and the Holy Ghost. Let's not make this complicated. We are not called to save anybody. We could not deliver somebody by caring enough. But if somebody ever gets Jesus, it gets the power of the Holy Ghost. There's no devil that can keep them down. There's no chain that can hold them back. And until the church gets drunk on Jesus and on the Holy Ghost, that is the only answer. Ezekiel, they ain't going to talk. If you can speak to them, he goes, you can start speaking to heavens. Can you repeat that? You can speak to the wind. At what point in time did Ezekiel say, I 100% believe this? And I buy it. I buy into it. It's going to be unbelievable. He did as he was commanded. Well, there's tons of faith in that, right? Here's what I'd like you guys to do. Just believe and go in my name, cast out devils. Who are you talking about here? You're talking about the pastors and leader. No. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And these signs shall follow. Those soaking wet with water. Those brand new converts. If you believe and are baptized, you can cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. Don't recommend a doctor. Don't recommend some kind of therapy. In Jesus' name, be healed. That's what he said to do. If you obey what you're commanded, here it is. Music. Bible said that he prophesies, and you know the story. But it's all a picture. It's all like a dream. It's not happening. And then he says something amazing. He says, "Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah." Take. I lost my place. Hold your peace. And then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph. And join them one to another into one stick. Here's what it says in the Hebrew. And they shall become ichad. In thine hand. One? Yeah. One. Not three, not two, one. One. Different functions, yeah, but one. What's the oneness group holding? A car, right? One. What's in that one? Judah and Joseph. And God said, that is my entire game plan for Israel. It's a cod in your hand. When the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, "Wilt thou not show unto us what thou meanest by these?" Say unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph and the stick of Judah, put them together. They'll be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes." And say unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen. Whither they be gone, will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. One king shall be over them. They won't be divided kingdoms. One king, and David, my servant, shall..." Wait, David's been dead for a while, right? What are you talking about? Oh, I'm talking about Jesus. "And they shall all have one shepherd." Who are you talking about? I'm still talking about Jesus. "And they shall walk in my statutes, dwell in the land that I've given unto Jacob, my servant. They shall dwell therein. David shall be their prince." Sounds like a kingdom. "Forever. I'll make a covenant of peace. I will multiply. I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever, my tabernacle. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and the heathen shall know." I don't know about you. I'm starting to feel a little bit better already. I will be their God. You be my people. And the heathen shall know. You see, I don't have anyone good at Facebook, so I'm hating it right there. The whole marketing thing, we don't have that going on Spokane. Sorry, we don't. Any of that, we don't. But something tells me that if God's my God and I'm his people, something is going to happen. Let me tell you when that's going to happen. When Jesus and Joseph come together. Jesus and Christ. That's what it looks like. What it looks like in reality is right now, without any kind of hype at all, believing that Jesus is here and the power of the Holy Ghost. And so you're sick here? No, you're not. God did not give us permission to let you tell us where you are. And in the New Testament, they don't pray for healing. They don't. They speak it. And so what's getting ready to happen here, as a demonstration that you do not need, we'll get there hopefully, if I don't preach 15 hours every night. You don't need screaming. You need faith. That it's not ever been by might. It's never been by power, but by my spirit. And if we talked about those two, those are the anointed ones, Zechariah 4. The anointed ones. Christ. Body of Christ. That's us. It's by spirit. And so somebody will get delivered here today. Somebody in this building, we got a baptistry out there. And Jesus is the only name. And whenever Jesus himself told his disciples to baptize, he wanted them to know their identity. So go ahead and baptize them in all they're getting. The name of the Father. Somebody said, I'm family. I'm family. The name of the Son? Salvation. The name of the Holy Ghost? You mean I'm a missionary sent? Yeah. It's nothing to do with names. It's titles or functions. It's areas that you get baptized into. Daddy, salvation, I'm a missionary sent. That's all part of Judah. Bloodline. It's bloodline. I'm not from where I came from naturally. I've been born again of a spiritual genealogy. And so guess what isn't an issue with me? Generational curses. In the name of Jesus, I'm a brand new type of creature. There's not even been a segment for it yet. It's a whole new category. A bloodline that started with Judah all the way to Jesus. That's who I am now. That's my identity. And so it's not, I'm proving it. I'm a Glover. Now let me show you what us Glovers do so you'll believe me. Believe me or not, I'm a Glover. Don't say Glover. globe. Believe it or not, I am. I don't got to prove anything to you. I am. Oh, there's something about understanding. Hey, guess what? According to the scripture, God is my daddy. And if I am a son of God, I am an heir. I'm an heir. And every time I talk in tongues, it's a witness. It's not a witness to you. You can hear me or not hear me, but every time I talk in tongues, it's reminding me who I am. Oh, that's why you ought to pray in tongues. You'll start lifting your head up. I am in the family of God. Oh, I wish somebody in this building would believe the simple truth. You're in the family. Man, you do not, when you're family, you don't. Sierra and Taylor are such great kids. They don't got to prove one thing to me. Not one. They don't got to earn it. They're my daughters, no matter what. And we're coming into God's kingdom fresh out of having to earn it with everybody. I got to prove to myself, to the gang, the crowd, the buddies, the job, everybody. The biggest toys, the prettiest wife, the this, the that. You're done proving. I am. Wait a minute. Are you Jesus? He goes, I am. Boom. Those soldiers that came to grab him, they flew back. So did Judas. Flew back. Why?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Because that's authority. Exousia. Power in the Greek. Exousia is authority. Dunamis in the Greek is also power. Dynamite. The Holy Ghost brings that. Jesus' name, authority. And when you put authority and power together, they were meant to go together. Because if you got power and don't know who you are, it don't really matter, does it? If you got power and don't know, well, guess what, my friend? If you got authority and power, boom. Stand with me. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Authority. I got it right. Power. It ain't me, but something's getting ready to blow up. Believe it. Boom. You don't prove your faith by how hard you can shake somebody's head. You don't prove your faith by how loud you get. You know what? Real faith don't even have to show it. Just Jesus' name. And so if you're in this building today and you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because we want you to be family. Actually, let's go ahead and do that. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and you'd like to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, can I see your hand go up? Now, I really can't see that far, so. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, we want to baptize you. Now, if you're here and you've never met Joseph, he's here. He's here. You just haven't, he's not been revealed to you. The Holy Ghost is here. We're not going to be believing God to pour out anything. It's poured out. It's here. You walked through it to get in here. And so you'll receive it like that. And so if you've never spoke with tongues, as the Spirit gave you utterance, you've never received the Holy Ghost. And God wants you to have that power. Because that's the resurrection experience. And that's going to happen if you're here and you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speak with other tongues. I see your hand get raised. Just raise it high. You've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. All right. Now, who here needs a healing? In their body. That's where we're going to start. If you need a healing in your body, would you please come stand up here at the front, right up here? Please come. Stand up just in a line, if you would. I'm wearing a garment right now, and I didn't pray it down, but I got a coat of many colors on me for healing. I think this is why I'm here. Please come if you need healing in your body. Need a healing in your body, would you please come? Healing's been done, so we're just going to believe it. Please come if you need healing in your body. Hold up. Jesus Christ, by his stripes we are healed. Past tense, are. We are just going to receive it. You are not. Sickness can be a spirit. Sickness can be a spiritual thing, and it's not. It's not going to tell you what you are. We are going to speak and tell you what you are. Isn't that what Simon Peter did? Start praying, and I'd like you guys to just start believing Jesus Christ right now. Thank you.
the sweetest name I know. The name of Jesus. Of Jesus. No other name, no other name, I know. No other name, no other name, I know. The name of Jesus, of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break it. every chain, break every chain. There is